Welcome back. I'm Peyton Jones, and it's time to open up a can of Through the Word as we jump into Matthew 23, where Jesus opens up a can on the Pharisees. Verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." In other words, Jesus is saying, these religious teachers, the Pharisees, listen to their words, but don't imitate their actions. Jesus continues, "Everything they do is for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long." If you don't know what a phylactery is, it was a little box. They had scriptures in there because in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, God said, "Bind up the words of this book on your forehead and on your right hand." Now, that imagery was meant to point to your thinking and your action, that the Word of God would perfectly be integrated into all you thought and all you did. But they made it into a box that they strapped onto their foreheads or their arms. So Jesus says they like to make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. He continues in verse 6, "They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others." Pomposity on parade makes me sick. How about you? Jesus wasn't crazy about it and tells us everything they do is done for people to see. Ouch. In other words, with them, what you see is what you get. And all you saw was a show because a show was all there is. But about being called rabbi, verse 8, "But you were not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you're all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven." Now, this can be a little bit confusing. There are people who think that Jesus is saying, don't call your earthly father, father. But the gospel writers use the word father for Joseph and for other earthly fathers. So it can't mean that. Context is key. And in context, Jesus means, don't exalt leaders to the position of godlike status, putting them in the place of God alone. I remember once asking one of my favorite commentators, Warren Wiersbe, to sign my Bible. I know, I hear how it sounds now, but he helped me understand the Bible so darn much, it seemed fitting at the time. Not to him, though. He wrote, "Be no man's disciple," and signed his name, and handed it back to me with a wry grin. Point taken, Warren W. Wiersbe. But you're still the greatest. Verse 12, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." You know, we should always be careful about exalting people who will themselves be humbled in the presence of God. And speaking of humbling, Jesus is about to serve up humble pie to the Pharisees in a series of seven woes that this chapter finishes out with. Woes are a bit like curses, like when Jesus cursed the fig tree in the previous chapter. When Jesus said things like, "Blessed are they who," in the Beatitudes, yeah, that's a blessing. A woe is like the opposite of that. There are seven woes here, meaning their judgment was total. Again, like the fig tree. Verse 13, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves don't enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Ouch! Not only are the Pharisees not going to heaven, they are blocking the way of others trying to get in by misrepresenting God. Whew! I don't know about you, but I'm so glad nobody does that today. And who said that sarcasm was lost on Christians? Okay, one curse down, six more to go. The next one says that when the Pharisees did make a convert, they converted them to the wrong team. Verse 15. Woe to you, Pharisees of the law, and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Jesus goes on to poke holes in their religious hypocrisy, specifically the self-serving loopholes they exploited for their own gain. And through all these woes, Jesus does a lot of name-calling. He calls them hypocrites, or actors, fakers, sons of hell, blind guides, blind men, blind Pharisees, blind is kind of at the top of the list here, and brood of vipers. Note the three times Jesus calls them blind. That's because they actually thought they were serving God when they weren't. Besides which, they were blind to God standing right in front of them. Now that should cause us to sit up and take notice. Am I serving others, or am I serving God, or am I serving myself? In verse 25, Jesus summarizes, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Now, Jesus is almost finished as he lands the final woe in verse 29. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then, complete what your ancestors started." Jesus isn't pulling any punches here. Jesus reminds them that despite boasting they would have never killed the prophets, they're about to kill him, the Son of God. They never stopped to think that maybe they were missing who God sent to them, just like their ancestors did. So Jesus continues in verse 33, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I tell you, all this will come on this generation." Now, this is a direct reference to the destruction of the temple in AD 70. When the Greeks and Babylonians destroyed the temples, the prophets predicted it both times as God's judgment. Here, for a third time, Jesus is predicting the destruction of the temple again. And Matthew doesn't tell us this, but the other gospel writers do. By the time Jesus speaks the words in verse 37, there are tears streaming down his face. It's easy to hear the heartbreak in Jesus as you read these final words. Just like it's not been hard to imagine that he's hurt in the woes, Jesus' heart is breaking over his people, and their rejection of him brings him pain. Verse 37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." You know, that's what Jesus wants from all of us, to gather us together as a mother hen gathers its chicks, to nurture and protect us. But they weren't willing. Are we?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.